The Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 3. Now we're going to look at the etheric and astral as polarities to one another. Now, I suggest that if you can, you open up a word processor window on your computer as you're listening to this. But if you're on a mobile device or something like that and can't do it, it's all right, because you will see all of this depicted in the so-called dynamic diagrams that I've created on Vimeo and YouTube. And so you'll be able to go back to this material. And don't forget, as I mentioned in the introduction, at any time you can go back to these lectures. If you don't get things the first time or the second time, go back a third time. Just give yourself 3-4 hours a day, so you can do that. So the etheric body, the body of life, it has several salient characteristics. First of all, because it is meant to be there at birth, it's very connected with all of the forces that led to that birth, that is to say, with heredity, with what today we'd speak of as, you know, genetics, everything that we've inherited from our parents down to our DNA and RNA, without going into all of the Mendelian aspects of this. Certainly we could say, though, that where heredity is studied, where genetics are taken up, even to the point of genetic engineering and things like that, we are there getting involved in matters that belong to the domain of the etheric body. We are going into some very, very deep waters there, and to some extent with a degree of willful ignorance, because Steiner showed us how overwhelmingly complex the etheric world is and how much we have to learn about it. But we could say, certainly, the way a child looks, the way the child walks, certain qualities of speech, you know, some of that is imitative, which is also very much a part of the etheric body. But what we can clearly see, the child has inherited from the parents. That is definitely all very much brought by the etheric body. The etheric body also has within it its own memory, and that memory is of its intentions, which it is bringing over from the spiritual world. So we could say that the etheric body has a sacred quality to it, because it is carrying our karma from previous lives. It is forming our body to be an instrument for karma. It's forming our temperament to be a foundation for being able to take on our own karma later on in life. So it is looking back. It's looking back at all times. It also is anabolic in nature. That is to say, it's connected with everything that builds us up, with everything that flourishes, that develops later on, with the healing forces that can take a wound and restore it to a point where it disappears. Now, bone can be broken, and the etheric forces can rush to it with a little help from an outside structure or cast and restore that bone almost perfectly. So it has to do with these anabolic, upbuilding, maintaining forces. And therefore, it's very connected to our health and well-being. And something that you know already from your work with first and second graders, if you've had this class for those years, the etheric body is a body of rhythm, and it is a body that is nourished by rhythms as well. If you want to stimulate etheric forces, even to the point where a child's health can take a turn for the better, give that child a life of healthy, regular rhythms. We, of course, try to make the Waldorf classroom a model, a paradigm of healthy rhythms. You know, that everybody comes to school on time and we start our verse at exactly the same time every day, and the children know we're going to be clapping and singing, and then that there's going to be a story and a review. And, well, maybe you're thinking, that sounds great, but first of all, not everybody comes on time, and then that throws us off, and that's, of course, the challenge of our time. The etheric body is endangered, as is our immune system, as is our guardian angel, because it's so hard for us to maintain a life of healthy rhythm. And we probably have a lot more control over the rhythms in the child's life than their poor, long-suffering parents do, who are much more slaves of the everyday life and the whims and the caprices of fortune and so on, and the weekends and the summer vacations, where it's hard to maintain anything in a consistent way. So our age presents such a bevy of threats, such an arsenal of weapons hurled against the etheric all the time. Anything that we can do to maintain a life of rhythm is going to be very, very healing and very helpful to the etheric body. As is anything that we do with each age in an appropriate way, starting with the change of teeth, ideally, to stimulate the child's memory, to give the child poems and songs and aphorisms and a whole set of exercises and whatever to strengthen the memory. There, too, the etheric body thrives and flourishes with that. Now let's look at the astral body. The astral body doesn't look to the past at all. We could say that the astral body is even lodged in the future. And in the diagram on the 9-10-year change, you'll see that I put the physical and etheric bodies on the left side of the diagram, the astral body and the ego, which we haven't spoken of yet, on the right side, that they are, we might say, spatially far removed from each other. The etheric physical streams from the past, the astral and later the ego stream towards us from the future. So the astral body, it's not connected with the hereditary forces. It's even antithetical to them. Should it surprise us then that as the astral body starts to fully incorporate within the young person, they start to develop an antipathetic relationship to their parents. They start to cast those parents and their hereditary garments off. And everything the parents say is weird. Every joke the parent tries to crack is not funny. Every opinion the parent renders is subject to scrutiny, argument, and utter destruction, if possible. This is very, very astral. We could say this is not the child per se. This is the astral world doing all of this in its joyful, delighted, mischievous battle with the etheric world. That's why all adolescents say the same things to their parents. The slang may be different, but basically it's the same rolling of the eyes, embarrassment, and finally utter rejection at one point or another. It's a phase. We know it's perfectly healthy, though if you've ever been a parent of an adolescent, it's not such an easy thing to shake off. So the astral body is a powerhouse. Remember, it's hurling itself towards us at the speed of light. When it hits the etheric body, it's explosive, and it's very, very destructive in many ways. Because it's meant to be destructive, it is supposed to be destructive, it is catabolic in nature. If it weren't for the astral body, we would not be able to digest our food. The etheric body takes the fully digested foodstuff and builds it back into the structure of our physical organism. But it's the astral body that makes sure I don't look like a cow because I ate beef last night, or I don't look like a pig because I ate pork the night before, or I'm not an egg or a leaf of lettuce because I ate those foods at some time. It's the astral body that breaks that food substance down, we could say, to utter chaos, to tohu vavohu, as we will hear in the opening lines of Genesis, to a state of inchoate formlessness, which then makes it possible for the etheric body to build it up. But in between, there's a whole lot of destroying going on. And the astral body, which tends to always overstep its boundaries, which moves too quickly towards us, which tries to occupy far too large a part of our being, squeezing the etheric out where possible, it brings a whole lot of toxicity to our body. That these destructive forces, when held in abeyance, as in our stomach with strong acid, or our intestines with powerful bases, or with the, you know, rampant bacteria that really occupy our entire body, the astral body lives in all of that, joyfully, delightedly, and for the most part, the etheric body is able to hold its own. But in adolescence, these toxic forces grow too strong. So, for example, there are many young people in whom the digestive system is overtaxed, not even because they're eating the wrong food, although most adolescents do tend to eat the wrong food, but they just become overtaxed because the astral body is so active. The digestive system cannot hold all of its forces, and they spread through the human body and finally show up on the skin. So the skin becomes a kind of organ of digestion. And this is where the children have the famous zits and other skin problems and things like that. Many of the ailments and difficulties of this age are connected with these powerful catabolic astral forces, which must be within us, but also must stay within their boundaries. Another aspect of the astral body that's contrary to the etheric body is it's not interested in memory. It is interested, we could say, in new perception at all times. For the astral body, everything must be new and fresh, and it's ready to be taken up in a new and fresh way. And we could see how when you combine this sort of freshness with the conservativism of the memory, then you have the capacity for thinking. You know, the interplay of the concept and the percept and the arising of the representation between them. This is really between the astral and the etheric bodies. Something else that's very important with the astral body is it is not connected at all to rhythm. It's connected rather to variety, not to the regularity of a rhythm, but rather to ceaseless change, to endless variations on a theme. It's very sanguine in nature, we could say, in contrast to the phlegma of the etheric body. So for a young person to stay with the rhythm of the family becomes very, very difficult. And so we see they want to stay up later at night. Maybe they get really hungry at 2 a.m. and eat last night's dinner or whatever. They can't wake up at the same time. They get very active at certain times of day and then completely lethargic. It drives the life of a family really, really crazy to try to deal with these endless changes. And in fact, in Europe, a number of Waldorf schools have changed their rhythm for the older students so that main lesson doesn't begin until 11. Not that they get to sleep late, they still come in at the same time, but they do a crafts class or they do eurythmy, movement, something like that, and only start the main lesson later in the morning as one way of accommodating these astral forces. So variety, unpredictability, individuality, the future, all of this lives as a counterbalance in the astral body to the etheric body's forces of heredity, repetition, predictability, movement from the past. And we see how these two very, very contrary forces live within the human being. In the first 7-8 years of life, these forces keep their distance from one another. We might say that the guardian angel living in the etheric body is protecting the child from the cliff, falling off the cliff of the astral body and flying off into oblivion. But come the 9-10 year change, now these forces are going to meet, and this becomes the great drama of third grade. And in our next segment, we'll see a little bit more about how these things play out with the bodies. And the question then comes, for example, what about the temperaments? What role do they play at this age? We will see.